It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and happy Monday to you. Be careful. We had a little snowstorm that came in. Temperatures have dropped significantly, and it is a little slick out there, so allow extra time and just be patient with each other. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. And this is a place where we have important conversations about issues that will affect you to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with friends, family, colleagues, neighbors about these important ideas that are these issues that are facing us and engage in this battle of ideas. So we've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines in this first and second segment. We'll talk with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, at the bottom of the hour. And then third and fourth segments will be Dr. Brian Dmitrovic. He is an economic historian. He wrote this really important book with Larry Kudlow. And Larry Kudlow is head of the National Economic Council for President Trump. And so that'll be a really good conversation as well. Today is Veterans Day, so thank you to all of you veterans out there. Over at Hooters Restaurants, all veterans and military personnel get to eat for free. They have six yummy different entrees that you can choose from. So be sure and go over to Hooters Restaurants today, and there will be a free lunch if you are a veteran or in the military. And just let them know that you know Kim Munson as well. I would greatly appreciate that. As we look at these issues.
Wait. You wanted to get the free lunch or not?
What's that?
You want them to get the free lunch or not? They say they know Kim Munson. Who knows what might happen? Go ahead.
Oh, aren't you Mr.
Monday Morning.
Mr. Monday Morning.
Hey, it could be worse. As you observed on your way in, I could be the guy sitting up against the guardrail with my airbag in my lap. So.
Oh, my gosh. I drove by, and I'm thinking, oh, there were two cars, and it looked like, you know, he probably got in his car in his garage. He had his, you know, work, you know, headed off to the office, and his airbag had gone off and the bumper was hanging off. And I'm like, oh, that's a tough start to a Monday morning.
I'm sorry for interrupting you there. I just had to ask the question.
Smarty pants.
Sorry.
As we look at all these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And when we think about our American military and our American veterans, the pretty amazing bunch of people, all the way from starting at the Patriots at the Revolutionary War to the men and women that are serving today. They typically are standing against force. They're standing for freedom. And we're not perfect, but we sure are the good guys. You look at us from within our history, and we are the good guys. So thank you to each of you. Veterans and military personnel out there, you're all really valued. And again, we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And here in Colorado and in many other states, we continue to see this march towards socializing transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, and data. And we need to realize what is going on and push back big time on that. And, you know, one of the things last week, there was a big success when this Proposition CC, which was politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties asking to keep our everyday, hardworking Coloradans to keep our Tabor tax refunds forever. That was a great pushback on that, because one of the things on this whole socialism thing is you got to turn that money spigot off. So thank you to you, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for your support, your good work. And thank you to your listeners out there. You each are treasured. You're valued. Strive for excellence today and take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. And be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled MONSON.com. Podcasts and recaps of all the shows are there. Our Quote for today is from Larry Kudlow, since he and Brian Dmitrovic wrote that book together. He says, free market capitalism is the best path to prosperity. Again, free market capitalism is the best path to prosperity. So are you ready for the joke today, Steve?
Yeah, I peaked. This is a good one.
Oh, okay. An American and a Chinese man are talking in a cafe. They engaged in a debate over their two systems of government. The American says, look, our system might not be perfect, but we have freedom. The Chinese man asks, freedom to do what? And the American responds, well, for one, I can go to Washington, D.C., walk up to the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running this country. And the Chinese man thinks for a moment and retorts, well, I can do that too. Oh, really? Replies the American, skeptical of the Chinese man's claims. Yes, said the Chinese man, I can go down to Beijing, walk up to the chairman's desk and say, Chairman, I don't like the way Donald Trump is running his country.
There's probably a lot of truth in that. He could do that.
He probably could do that. Before we go into the show here, as many of you know, back in 2016, I had the great honor and blessing to get to go to Normandy with a group with the Denver Police Activities League that took four D-Day veterans back to Normandy for the 72nd celebration of D-Day. And it was amazing to me to see the French still, they revere these guys because they freed them from the horrible occupation of the Nazis. And remember that Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And as we see our young people have this romance with socialism, we need to make sure that they realize that ultimately, Steve, that meme that you found, you can vote your way into socialism, but you typically have to shoot your way out. And that is what happened on D-Day when the Allies stormed the beaches in Normandy, France, to get a toehold on the European continent so that they could start to fight back on this evil tyranny of Hitler and the Nazis. And so this was written by a guy. I picked this postcard up in Normandy. A French person, Jean Jujan. I have 1 year of French, so that's my best on that. And this is what it says. And on the top of it, it has a young soldier, and he's sitting there with a little French girl, and she has a whole bouquet of flowers, and they both are smiling. And this is what it says. It says, dear veteran, I'm writing to say thank you. And through me, there are thousands of children speaking to thousands of veterans. Like us, you were young and carefree. But when you were only 20 years old, liberty called you to say, I'm dying, come and save me. And you arose full of courage and zeal to answer that call. You underwent training day after day for D-Day. And one day in June, you arrived by air and sea. And you fought with the heart and soul of a free man so that we too might be free. You saw your fellows fall on our beaches and in our fields, and in spite of your grief and your injuries, you stayed on and fought side by side with us. And so, dear veteran, I want to tell you regarding those dear to you who sacrificed their youth and are now resting in peace, the sleep of the just, that we are the children they never had. And to you, dear veteran, who offered your bravery and your most promising years for this, our land, I say to you, we are your sons and daughters of liberty, who want to say to you today a heartfelt merci. What do you think of that, Steve?
That is exquisite. It's cool to know, and I guess anybody who's been over to Normandy like you have, and I was just talking with a fellow church member yesterday that his career took him to be working in England for several years, and he decided that since he was that close to France, he just had to go over, and he did. And he said the feelings that came over him walking the cemeteries, the American cemeteries, and so to hear thoughts expressed like that these people recognize what was done on their behalf even before they even existed. That's incredible.
And in school, they still teach what happened on D-Day in France.
And they do over there, and they don't over here.
And we don't over here. And we have educators out there that are teaching our kids that we are the bad guys. And it's a travesty on what's happening in education right now. And so anyway, I just, the first time I read this, it made me cry. It was so beautiful. Let's jump into some of the headlines here. And Patty has pulled a number of pieces here regarding just how Colorado seems to want to be California. And California is, it's such a beautiful state. It is just beyond me that what is happening out there, that it's, their cities are becoming third world countries. And I was downtown just, on Friday here in Denver. And there's parts of downtown Denver that's starting to look like third world cities. And you have to scratch your head and wonder why. And it's because I think we are continuing to see this socialization of the key things that allow us to go after our hopes and dreams. So a couple of things here. As you may remember, and we're pulling this from last week, Patty had this on the headlines, and we had not pulled it or talked about it. But as you may remember, Governor Hickenlooper and Governor Polis, via executive order, has said that Colorado will be moving to, and these are misnomers, zero emission vehicles and low emission vehicles, because when you use that misnomer, they do not take into account the complete production and transportation of these vehicles. They don't have not even addressed what happens with these batteries for these cars. And so it's really a misnomer to call them a low emission or a zero emission. But what has happened is California got a waiver when the United States put into the EPA put in these different air quality rules and regulations, and California got a waiver that they could actually be more stringent. And there are several states, Colorado was one of them, that says that they want to follow the California standards instead of the U.S. standards. And what is happening out in California is they are pushing more and more people to electric vehicles. And then, Steve, you found the most amazing meme where it says, "Welcome to California, where we force you to drive an electric car, and then we turn the electricity off." I mean, what's going to happen here? But now Colorado has said that they want to follow those mandates as well. And just it was 2 weeks ago, Freedom to Drive Coalition argued in its October 30th complaint that the mandate is preempted and invalidated by federal rules and the Clean Air Act, and was approved in violation of numerous state laws which require that rules and regulations adopted in Colorado be studied and justified based on Colorado-specific considerations. The complaint details how the Colorado Air Quality Control Commission simply rubber-stamped California's zero-emission vehicles regulations without considering how those regulations could harm hardworking Coloradans. Freedom to Drive's complaint aims to overturn costly new mandates, and when you hear the word mandate, that is force, that will impose electric vehicle sales quotas on Colorado's franchise motor vehicle dealers. These regulations will drive up the cost of many popular non-electric vehicles by approximately $2,500 or more for Colorado consumers. This is hard-earned cash that most Coloradans will not recover and will have the biggest negative impact on working families and economically disadvantaged. Freedom to Drive asks the court to declare that ZEV regulation invalid, arbitrary, and not in accordance with the law. And Steve, you've continued to make the point that the topography of Colorado is totally different than the topography of California.
I don't know that there's any spot in Colorado that's less than 3,000 feet above sea level. I don't know that there's any, how many places in California that are above. The majority of California is below 3,000. So those two differences right there. When you say that they rubber stamped California's zero emission vehicle regs, how can you rubber stamp something like that? The vast difference, and think of the major population centers of California, are pretty much at sea level, within a couple hundred feet at least. They're apples and oranges. And for this state to say, we're just going to do what California did, you need to go back and do some science.
That is for sure. And so we'll talk some more, I think, about California, a beautiful state, and it is in significant decline, and we see the same thing happening here in Colorado. So this is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with some more headlines.
Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Bud or Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. That song is from Up With People back in the 60s and 70s of Freedom Isn't Free. And that is very appropriate for Veterans Day, don't you think?
I do. Like I caught you by surprise.
It did catch me by surprise. Okay, let's continue on here. CARB, which is the California Air Resources Board, they are proposing a new regulation requiring that manufacturers sell a set percentage of zero-emission battery electric and fuel cell trucks, beginning with the model year 2024. The proposal would require carriers with U.S. gross revenues greater than $50 million or own more than 100 vehicles greater than 8,500 pounds that operate facilities in California to report their vehicle activity. The one-time reporting would need to be completed by April 1st of 2021 and would include characteristics of vehicles domiciled or assigned to the facilities. The agency said that zero-emission technology deployments are needed in the medium and heavy-duty market to meet the state's emission reduction goals. But to date, the major truck manufacturers have been relatively absent in this space. Steve, can you believe this? You know, here in Colorado, we like our little SUVs. And typically in temperatures, lower temperatures, your battery life goes down significantly. And so here in California, you know, California is getting to a point where it's the haves and the have-nots. The middle class is disappearing because they are taxing them significantly, and then they're taking that money and redistributing it over to, quote-unquote, the poor and disadvantaged. And so what this is going to do is increase the costs of transporting, you know, your products and the things that you your food and your clothing and all the things that everyday people, you know, need and you would like to have affordable. This is going to increase the price on that significantly, Steve.
I have to laugh. You say, can I believe this? What does the C in CARB stand for again?
It is for the California Air Resources Board.
Well, the C stands for California. So when then you ask, can I believe this? Well, can we believe anything that comes out of California? And, you know, we're not here to bash California, but all these things are popping up and are being, you know, by osmosis are coming across the borders to Colorado. It just doesn't make any sense.
I know it.
And then we tap into this other little nuance of our culture. Let me flash one thing at you, like minimum wage. How many times have we dissected this push to raise minimum wage to $15 an hour, which sounds really good on the surface, especially to the people who are under that, you know, that number right now. But then we start dissecting it and realize how much harm it does to the economy. So when something like this, you know, from this particular thing called CARB pops up, it's like, well, you know, on the surface, it sounds okay. But like you said, where are the increased costs in transportation and everything else that you have to throw into the mix? But people don't really want to, they get caught up in the little piece of it that sounds good, like minimum wage, $15 an hour, and they take it to the bank, no pun intended.
Yeah, well, ultimately, as you mentioned, with forced minimum wage, is, you know, many of these small companies operate on very tight margins. And so that may mean that they may have to let somebody go. They won't hire somebody. And so once again, then you have people that are not working. And, you know, my dad always said that the idle hands are the devil's workshop. When people don't have things to do, they figure out ways to fill their time. And I think that work would be a great way to do that. And typically these lower paying jobs are the jobs that new people getting into the workforce are taking, or are young people. And so when you do this forced minimum wage, what happens is those people don't get hired. They do not get those initial skills on how to work. They don't learn the work ethic, how to work with the public. And so ultimately, whenever you get this whole force thing involved in any of these issues, bad things actually happen. And typically, if government gets involved in something, the price goes up and the supply goes down. And you could just take a look at healthcare. You know, under Obamacare, the price went up. He said the price would go down, but the price went up. And then, you know what, I just heard a young person told me, who is expecting, that their OBGYN, after 25 years of practicing medicine, is their practice is closing, because under Obamacare, midwives can now deliver babies without having to go through all of the costs of malpractice insurance. And so because of that, you are seeing, again, the supply then of your high-quality OBGYNs is becoming limited. And so the price has gone up and the supply has gone down. It's an absolute travesty when government gets involved in these kinds of things. So now that you see that California is getting involved in your light-duty trucks and your heavy trucks, once again, you're going to see the cost go up. And California's just out of their minds. But Colorado is not far behind. Steve, you look like you want to say something before I move on.
Well, again, maybe osmosis is the right word. I mean, these things seem to come across the state lines. And here, you know, they're just here in front of you. You wonder how in the world could we have adopted or even be thinking about some of these things. But, you know, this drive to look just like California, and, you know, it's probably tacky, but they call it the Californication of Colorado.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So a couple of other pieces. We'll continue to talk about California. And again, beautiful state. It breaks my heart on what's going on. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is Blackouts, Fires, High Gas Prices. Who wants to live in California today? And this is the very first lines on this. It says, on the fourth morning without power, Carolyn Summers lay as still as possible in bed, trying to delay the moment when she ran out of oxygen. Her power generator, which she had hoped would run her oxygen compressor, wouldn't start. The local hospital said it couldn't give her an extra tank. I guess if you run out, you just die, Ms. Summers wrote on Facebook. Then the 62-year-old lay still again, conserving energy and hoping for a miracle. Just think about that. Just think about that. When we talk about caring for people, the fact that you cannot have reliable energy sources because, again, of government mismanagement is absolutely, it's mind-boggling. And then the New York Post, this is another headline that Patty had found. Miranda Devine says management and stubbornness have set California ablaze. It's not climate change that has set California on fire, as Governor Gavin Newsom claims. It's human mismanagement and green obstinacy. Locking up forests and preventing tree clearing and the systematic fuel reduction required in any prudent management of nature has been a disaster in a state that is built to burn. Now the cataclysm predicted by world forestry and fire experts has come to pass. The culprits are blaming climate change. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They warn of cataclysmic climate change if we don't suddenly remove the cheap fossil-fueled energy on which this nation's economic prosperity was founded. Then they work against any sensible management of California's forests that would reduce the severity of routine, regular wildfires. Then when the wildfires become record-breaking, they point and say, see, I told you so. She says they're like arsonists admiring their handiwork from afar. But in this era of climate alarm, they are winning the argument. I think that's absolutely important to understand. We've had mismanagement of our forests. And then, you know, the, another thing you wonder if they're going to have electric fire trucks out there in Colorado or out there in California. You know, how's that going to work? Jason McBride, what do you think? Electric fire trucks out in California.
Yeah, I think they're hopefully charged up now so they can get at least one load of water out there.
It's unbelievable what's happening out there,
Jason. I
don't
know what they're going to do after that, but I think it's a good thing they have a very good infrastructure set up for homelessness for all the folks' houses that are going to burn down.
So I guess
somewhere to go right to.
I guess that's true. So I guess if you were going to buy a company for California, like Coleman, the camping company, that would be a stock that you would buy if you were really looking at California, right?
Yeah, well, that might be a good one. You know, anybody that sells tents, smoke respirators, you know, so you don't get it in your lungs. All kinds of good possible opportunities out there.
There's a lot of buying opportunities regarding California. So, hey, what's going on with the market? It was a very strong week last week. What are you seeing as we're getting ready to open up here on Monday morning?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be down a little bit, at least at the start, Kim. But, you know, it looks like we were down a bit on Friday, too, and then managed to recover and close with very small gains. So, the first, the old saying is, the first hour is for the people that aren't smart, and the last hour is for the smart money. So we'll see what happens today, but it might be weak right at the open.
Okay, I've never heard that, Jason. So, hey, one other thing. Today is Veterans Day. And
yes.
I know that there is somebody in your family who you deeply respect and treasure.
Well, absolutely. I was going to certainly point out what an important day today is, Veterans Day. My father-in-law, Mike Moon, was in the Marines. He was in Vietnam. I just have nothing but great respect for him. He's not the kind of guy that would ever brag about much about what he did over there, but I know he saw action. He doesn't talk much about it. He's not like Sidney, or what's the guy's name, Richard Blumenthal, that brags about running up the hill, and then he wasn't even there.
Right, I think that's a senator, right, and he wasn't even there. And, I don't know what to say about that, but for these guys to lie about their service is just despicable. That is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Steve.
That's right.
But over on the positive side, there are so many Americans that have been willing to strap on boots, pick up a weapon, go and stand against evil and tyranny. And that is why we have the freedom that we can talk freely here, freedom of speech, all of these rights that we have, Jason, and we need to just stop today and thank a veteran. Thank you, our veterans and our military, because it's because of you that we get to do this. So, Jason McBride.
And I always like to point out, Kim, I have to have some fun. Why is it that we have Veterans Day, but we have Gay Pride Month?
Seems like we don't have our priorities in the right place, right?
And also, don't forget, next month is National Tie Month.
National Tie Month?
Yeah, National Tie Month. That's important enough to have a whole month worth of it. There's all kinds of these holidays that last a week or a month or even a day that are now kind of considered holidays. There's some to sell you something on every day of the year.
So when you say National Tie Month, do you mean like a man's necktie?
Kim, I didn't really research it because it wasn't that important to me. But, yeah, that's what I'm assuming, National Tie Month.
Okay, well,
so we have a whole month for you to worship and respect your ties, but we only have one day for veterans.
Well, Lynn, let's make today count.
I think we should have a Veterans Day every month.
Well, I think we should, too, because it's because of these men and women that we have these freedoms. And one other quick point on that, Jason, is we are seeing a real assault on freedom of speech in America today, and it's being done through this whole politically correct thing. And to honor these veterans, one of the things that we need to do is make sure that we stand strong. And when somebody starts to try to shut down voices, we, as everyday people, say, no, not on our watch, because these veterans were willing to put it all on the line, make sure that we say to others that, yes, freedom of speech may offend other people on what somebody might say, but it is so important, and people were willing to put their lives on the line to make that happen, and we need to make sure that we stand strong on that. So
I completely agree, but not on October 10th.
Why?
Because that's National Handbag Day, and we don't want to do anything to take away from that.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff. Maybe that Stock Trader's Almanac that you have, you probably still have, what, a couple of copies of that you can still give away?
I do, and it's got more important information in it than National Online Bank Day, which is October 14th.
Jason Bride, on that, if you'd like one of those Stock Trader Almanacs, reach out to Jason McBride at airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Jason.
Okay, sounds good, Kim.
Okay, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the economy with Dr. Brian Dimitrovic.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
My country is a peace.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and it is Veterans Day, so Charlie's put together some really great patriotic songs. But on the line with me is Dr. Brian Dimitrovic. He is an economic historian and the author of a very important book, Econoclast, as well as he co-authored a book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, with Larry Kudlow. And Larry Kudlow, as you know, is the director of the National Economic Council under President Trump. So, Brian Dimitrovic, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Good morning. It's great to be here.
And we haven't talked with you for a little while, and I thought, I want to find out what you think about 2020. What do you see the economy doing in 2020?
Sure. The U.S. economy is still doing very well. I mean, we're at a higher plane of growth than we ever were in the Obama years. The labor market is really tightening up. There's a lot of opportunity in this economy. So the American people, the electorate knows that. The difference now, too, especially, is that there is now a growing differential between the American performance and the rest of the world's performance. The United States is growing a little more than it has in the last 10 years, and the rest of the world is actually shrinking. So the differential is becoming big, and the United States is once again the kind of the place to be in the world.
What about the tariffs with China? It sounds like there's some rumblings that there might be some progress on that. What are you seeing with that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the big Trump policy that really kind of caught a lot of people, including me, by surprise. And we shouldn't have been surprised. I believe we've talked about this before, Kim, in that Trump certainly campaigned on that. Donald Trump campaigned on that in 2016 on tariffs. So the Trump trade policy has exposed a very difficult trading partner in China. I mean, China does all sorts of things that we are unaccustomed to in modern economic practice. It sure seems that there is going to be some kind of resolution on that matter. The stock market recognizes that. It's at an all-time high. So there should be progress on the trade front, and that, of course, will only redound to further American growth in the future.
Okay, so then you mentioning the stock market, and the stock market typically, I mean, it's a bit of a barometer of looking into the future, but on the short term, it can be a bit of a roller coaster. But it seems like the stock market is saying that there's good times ahead for America.
The market is at an all-time high, right? So that indicates that, in the opinion of the vast market makers in that huge business, the future is bright. Now, the stock market predicted 9 out of the last 5 recessions, as Paul Samuelson said years ago. But we've seen it in a holding pattern since 2016, the Dow, say, between about 24 and 27,000. And so the stock market has been waiting. Is it going to be more big governments, more trade restrictions, less opportunity, or is there going to be a loosening of economic restrictions such that business can really thrive and flourish and reach into new areas of opportunity? And if that happens, then we're going to break out of this holding pattern, and this all-time high will be left in the dust.
Wow. Well, let's talk about politics, because you watch that as well. It sounds like Bloomberg might jump into the presidential race. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I understand Mike Bloomberg's sentiment in that the Democrats don't have a candidate with the national reach in an electoral college election like we have every 4 years. I mean, Joe Biden looks like he could be dead in the water. I mean, one of the purposes of this whole impeachment stuff on the part of the left wing of the Democratic Party is to sully the Biden name, and that seems to be working. Well, that leaves them with having to nominate someone from Massachusetts, and there's no way that the national electorate is going to vote for a Massachusetts liberal. And we see what's happened to the California candidate, Kamala Harris. The wildfires and the electricity out in California just destroyed her candidacy. Nobody wants California visited upon the rest of the world. So I understand that Mike Bloomberg, if he doesn't want Donald Trump to be president, says, well, there needs to be another Democrat. He is worth, what, $60 billion, but I don't think his popularity really extends beyond Manhattan, New York.
Okay, and he's put a lot of money into local races. Out here in Colorado, he's put money into gun control legislation and supporting those candidates. He's, just really been all, very active in that and spent a lot of money. And so I wonder how that's going to, fly for him nationally as well.
Yeah, Michael Bloomberg is richer than we can really imagine. I mean, he's one of the most richest people in the world. I mean, he's almost kind of Bill Gates rich, almost. So he can spend money on all sorts of causes. But what we have seen in the presidential elections is that a deep kind of personal, visceral, almost populist connection with the voters is what really matters. And that mattered for Barack Obama in 2008, certainly. And without question, in 2016, Mike Bloomberg simply has none of that. I mean, it does not register that way with the American people. So it's hard to envision how he could win a presidential election.
What about a Michelle Obama? Do you think that that's a possibility, that she might jump in?
I've heard that for a couple of years. This is somebody with no political experience, in particular, no experience with dealing with the give and take, the rough and tumble of the campaign trail, politics ain't beanbag. I have never seen her operate in that realm, and therefore I shouldn't have any expectation that she could handle it.
Okay. Now, moving back over, you and Larry Kudlow have written that very important book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution. I think it's The Secret to American Prosperity or something. I'm doing that from memory on the byline on that. What have you talked to Larry recently? What is he saying is going on in Washington?
I haven't talked to Larry recently directly, but I talk every day with his best friend, Arthur Laffer, who I'm working with now closely. And the Trump administration is seriously talking about a next tax reform. We don't know what kind of cooperation Congress will bring, but Ronald Reagan, and Larry carries the Reagan torch in the Trump White House, Ronald Reagan had two tax cuts. He had the first tax cut in 1981, which took the top rate down 20 points, and then he had the second tax cut in 1986, which took the top rate further down another 22 points. And that model is being emphasized in the Trump White House, in that once you get a boom going with that first tax cut, you accelerate it with a second, and that solves all your problems. Then you just keep the economic growth going, you keep the Laffer curve rolling in terms of federal receipts and getting people out of government work, and that second tax cut is essential, and they're thinking about it seriously in the White House.
Okay, let's go to break, Brian. When we come back, you know, one of the things that I hear and kind of never Trumpers say, oh, well, there's, you know, yes, there was a tax cut. Yes, there was the reduction in rules and regulations, but we haven't seen any action on reducing spending. And so I'd like to see what you say to that, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of political will in Washington, at least in Congress, to reduce spending, and it seems like that's another thing that we need to address, but that's going to be pretty difficult in an election year. So why don't we go to break? This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Dr. Brian Dmytrovic, and he has co-written the book JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity, and he co-wrote that with Larry Kudlow. And let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about, you have these pillars of a strong American economy, and one of them is reducing spending, and I'd like to chat with you about that. So, Brian, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, A Study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, A Study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com, spelled MONSON.com. Today is Veterans Day, and we want to just think about it all day, of our veterans and our military who have made it possible that we get to live freely, and thank a veteran today. So, Brian Dmytrovic, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you.
No, it's great to be here, Kim.
Okay, the question on the table before we went to break was, President Trump has had the first set of tax cuts. You mentioned that there may be another one coming down the pike, which would be kind of interesting in election year, and also that he had cut rules and regulations. But what about spending? We've got to get that under control, Brian. What do you think about that?
It's very disappointing that the federal budget is careening towards $5 trillion per year. And really what that is, most of all, is a function of the ability of the United States to be a very successful economy. Because it's a $20 trillion plus economy now. It can afford a $5 trillion government. But it's kind of like, why spend the $5 trillion on that? I mean, can't we find something better? I know we can afford it, but it's just disappointing. I personally would prefer, you know, on Veterans Day, if we could maybe limit our federal spending to things like defense and paying interest on the debt. I actually don't have the biggest problem with paying a lot of interest on the debt, is that being a large share of the federal expenditures, because the greater the share interest is on the federal debt or on the federal budget, then the less the federal budget is devoted towards paying people. And I think that's the real economic dead weight. When the federal government hires people, when it has workers, when it has transfer payments, including Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and all the rest, it really stifles private innovation and private initiative. So I still think that economic growth is the secret to solving the spending problem, in that the more we have tax rate cut fueled economic growth, the more people will bound into the private sector and leave government behind, and spending will fall as a consequence.
Okay, Brian, what about this? What about if we as Americans agreed to take a haircut, maybe 1% to 2% haircut on like these transfer payments? Would that help, do you think?
Yeah, I'm less concerned objectively about the programs. Yeah, I mean, Medicare is ruining medicine, I understand. Social Security is a reason that we can have a Federal Reserve fooling around with inflation rates, because it's adjusted to inflation. If we cut those things, yes, there would be more innovation in health care and in retirement savings. But the secret remains economic growth. I think we always have to kind of stay optimistic and positive instead of thinking, let's attack Social Security or Medicare. I would prefer to think, let's have great success in our careers and our economic ventures, and then Medicare and Social Security and all those things will just fade away in the context of our success. We don't remember the little stools and props that we used when we were failing once we succeed. And that's the kind of vision, maybe it's a little optimistic, but that's the vision I have for the American economy.
But Brian, there are those, I'm calling them now PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, that if what you are describing happened, they would lose a lot of their power and control. And what we see going on in Washington right now is they do not want to do that. And in fact, it seems to me sometimes that some of these PBIs actually are rooting for the economy to not do well, because they think if it continues to do well, that would assure a Trump reelection in 2020.
Well, bingo. I mean, you're absolutely right, Kim. And that's what I want to focus on, that second tax cut. So the second tax cut was the one that the lobbyists hated of Ronald Reagan's. The great book about it was written, Showdown at Gucci Gulch, about the 1986 tax cut. The lobbyists who wore Gucci clothes to impress their congressman, they did not want this tax cut. You can't take the top right down to 28%. Nobody will want exemptions from it. Nobody will want loopholes. And it was just a full court press to stop it. And it failed, at least in the short term. And they passed it. And the lobbyists just hated it. That's why there was such a push after 1986 to get that top rate up a little more. Bush did it to 31 in 1990. Then Clinton took it up to 40 in 1993. And they're like, great, loopholes can be valuable again. So that's the stakes. So if we come up with a second tax cut, yeah, the lobbyists are going to come out of the woodwork saying, that's my livelihood. And this time we've got to win the battle for the long term.
But they're going to couch it that this would be just tax cuts for the rich guys, and that the everyday people are going to be hurt if we have another tax cut. So what would you say to that?
They're going to couch it. Great. I mean, they're wearing Gucci. I mean, Kim, you're going to have to do some consulting on their fashion. I mean, they're going to come out with really sly rhetorical tricks in couching it. And, you know, look at the clothes I'm wearing. I'm a really important guy. I have a good argument. Look at my outfit. That's really the way they go about their business. So we're going to have to stay strong. I mean, we're going to like, no, a 20% marginal tax rate is exactly what we want, no matter what. And this 5% rate of economic growth that we've been enjoying now under that rate is what we want. So we're going to have to kind of maintain the Reagan revolution through that Trump tax cut and know that the Washington insiders are going to howl.
Okay. Speaking of howling, I don't know if you had watched what was happening out here in Colorado in this particular election cycle, but I think you know out here in Colorado, we have Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. And there was an issue on the ballot. It was Prop CC that was referred by the legislature to the ballot that basically said, and there's three components of Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, TABOR. One is it says to PBIs, hey, if you want to raise our taxes, you just have to ask us. Two, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, you just have to ask us. Three, we realize that government can grow. It can grow at population plus inflation. If revenues come in above that, that needs to be refunded back to hardworking Coloradans. And so that was the question on the table on whether or not PBIs could keep those taper tax refunds forever. And the people of Colorado said no. And I think that's really important. Did you watch that at all, Brian?
Yeah, I did. I've mentioned this to you before, Kim. I keep, not only the, I was in Colorado just the other day, and I'm still on board at the University of Colorado. I follow your governor in that he used to be an intern for Arthur Laffer, and he talks with Arthur Laffer, does Jared Polis, all the time. And we have to notice that marginal income tax rate in Colorado is starting to float down, and they have a TABOR limitation. Did you know that Massachusetts' top income tax rate has floated down progressively, increasingly, I should say, since the 1990s? That's one of the secrets to Massachusetts' successes, who always elects a Republican governor like they have right now. And you have somebody who interned with supply-side economics for all his other enthusiasms. That's one of the big secrets to the successes of a place not only like Colorado but Massachusetts. And you can't find a major media member who would make such a point.
Okay. Next question on Colorado. Something that I saw this when I was on city council, is under the guise of economic development, you've got PBIs that are kind of picking winners and losers, that it's not an even playing field. And most of the times, the guys that get the breaks are the big business guys. It's not your mom and pop operations. It's the big guys that are getting economic development grants and tax breaks and things like that. And we started to shed light on that. And I was really surprised at the amount of money that has happened, that, you know, is encompassed in that. What's your comments on these economic development dollars?
Yeah, that's a really slippery slope. I mean, once you start saying, well, these people know what they're doing, so therefore they should have, you know, tax breaks. That's why it's so important to have a low, simple, flat tax rate system and to have small government so that there's no war chest to provide subsidies. These exemptions and breaks become very valuable in high-tax environments, but much less valuable in low-tax environments. And when governments don't have slush funds, it's very hard for them to give out subsidies. This is an irony of the Laffer curve, in that if you cut tax rates and you have increased revenues, that increases the likelihood of a slush fund that governments could use to then pay off their kind of friends in business. The most important thing is to simply make exemptions to taxation not valuable, and that's by having low tax rates.
Okay, fascinating on that. And one other thing to mention is I'm hearing rumblings that there may be an issue on the ballot in 2020 here in Colorado that would move us into a progressive tax rate. And, of course, we have had the income tax that was put in. I can't remember which amendment now in the Constitution. Was it the 16th? I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, and then it has become a progressive tax where the harder you work, the more successful you are, the a bigger percentage of your income has to go to taxes. And, you know, I think that that's a really bad idea to let that occur here in Colorado. What's your comments on that, Brian? And we're just about out of time.
It would be a terrible idea, and that all real job creation comes from high income and high net worth individuals. So it would simply be a tax on job creation. It would hit the lowest most of all.
Okay, I agree. Bad idea. So, Dr. Brian Dmitrovic, it's great to have you on the show. And once again, I was trying to remember the five pillars that you had mentioned, and I think I had four of them regarding, you know, what we need to do in the economy. What are those quickly again for our listeners?
Sure. The pillars of Reaganomics are low tax rates, low spending, spare regulation, sound money, and free trade.
And free trade. There you go. So, Dr. Brian Dmitrovic, thank you so much. It's always I always learn so much when you're on the show, so greatly appreciate it.
Really nice talking to you, Kim.
Okay. Actually, be sure and get his book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. And again, those five pillars are reduce government spending, reduce tax rates, reduce regulation, sound money, and free trade. So today, Larry Kudlow said, states with high and rising tax burdens are more likely to suffer economic decline. Those with low and falling tax burdens are more likely to enjoy strong economic growth. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. To this great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.